And I'm not going to speak, as you know. I don't have my microphone on, but I got this young man. I don't know how he hooked up with me. I don't know how it happened, but one day we were sitting in Denny's, and we started spending time together, and then we started going to a small group together, and man, this morning I thought we were going to take off, man. Gosh, I got full. But he's got a lot on his heart. God has really poured a gift into him, and he's finding his voice. He's beginning to learn how to allow that spirit to flow out of him. So tonight, I want y'all to welcome Ricardo Diaz. This is his preaching debut.
Okay, everybody can hear me well? Awesome, thank you. All right, guys. First of all, thank you so much, Pastor, for having me here. Thank you, everybody, for allowing me and giving. Really, it's a pleasure to be able to speak about God. You know, it's a privilege as Christians to speak about God and about how good and how lovely He is to us, you know? And yeah, Pastor Craig and I, we started meeting three or four months ago. More than that.
2 years.
Oh, like a year. Oh, I'm sorry. Time flies. They say like time flies when you're having a good time, right? So it's amazing to see that we have such a great relationship because of our love for God. And this morning, actually, I had a teaching, but I changed it. I mean, I didn't change it. God changed it.
Come on,
you know, God told me that, you know what? Sometimes you try to be so right that being right sometimes, most of the time, if you want to be right for your sake, you're not loving. And I want you to be loving. I don't want you to be right. I want you to be loving.
Amen.
And you know what? I was preparing this message. I was thinking like I'm going to have a very awesome slides showing up, and I was going to impress all of you. But God is like, no, son, like, you are trying to do my work. I do the convicting. You talk about me. I do the convicting. My spirit is the one that does the convicting. You are not taking this responsibility on you. You need to be the one that just tells people how much I love them. And my love will flow through you, and they will see me through you. And all of us as Christians, when we walk out, you know, and we're talking with people, we need to do these things. We need to just show how much God loves people, you know. And with the love of God, we need to remember that the way we love God is obeying Him. You know, God wants us to love one another. God wants us to love people. But until we don't love Him first and we don't love Him right, we cannot love people right. And actually, like this message this morning, I was talking with Pastor Craig, and I told him that I was feeling weird. I was feeling like I am struggling with I want to do more. I feel like I want to go out and eat the world and tell everybody about Jesus. But Pastor mentioned something, and he mentioned like, man, it's very easy to get caught up in works. Mm-hmm. And on the outside, I was like, but my flesh was like, what do you say? What are you talking about? Are you questioning my motives to love God? Are you telling me that I don't love God enough to want to do more for Him? But I know that this truth came from love, you know, because something that He said is so truth. God will not push you to do something where you have no peace. And when He said that, it was like cold water came on top of me, and it was like, wow, like I need to reflect on some things, you know. I've been listening a lot of Pastor Dan Muller. I love that guy, and I was kind of trying to preach something that he says, but really his message is his message. And when you say, you can say the same words, but when you say them with the wrong intention, changes the whole message. And that's something that the thing is, I've been listening to, we were like studying Crazy Love by Francis Chan, and he says the word in love so convicting and so good that it makes you feel like, man, like I need to go and pull everybody's ear. You know, you want to be like, what's the name of this guy? the one that prayed for to build the wall of Israel? Jeremiah, right? Like at the end, he was so desperate. Nehemiah, yes. At the end, he wanted to pull everybody's hair. He was pulling everybody's hair and ears, and he was like, "God, forgive, like forgive me, like they are the sinners." And he was really not being loving to them at the end. You know, in the beginning, he was trying to please God so much. And I guess he got caught up in works. He got so desperate that he was trying. And the Bible says that he was pulling the hair out of people. And read the last part of Nehemiah. And it says how, like, he was really, like, desperate to make people understand. And today, I was trying to think, like, how can I combine the message of Pastor Dan Moller and the message of Francis Chan? And actually today we read, lukewarmness is not the inevitable result of being imperfect. We are all imperfect. Lukewarmness is the inevitable result of love for God. The solution is not to push yourself into behaving perfectly. The solution is to cultivate your love for God. And you know what, like that was when I was thinking that Francis Chan was like kind of Nehemiah, that he was kind of like pulling our ear all the time, and we are like, oh man, like I feel horrible compared to him and what he's doing. But you know what, we're not supposed to compare to anybody. Everybody's call is different. But something that I really want to share with you is I look for something that I really notice about God. It's God is both things. It's love and it's holiness. God is holy. And we can tell in the scriptures. Let me find that out really quick. I'm actually going back a little bit to my notes because now I know that I'm saying this in the right heart. When I was preaching to my wife, I was trying to say things like, you know what? The only worst thing than a self-centered person is a self-centered Christian. And even though it's truth, the way that I was going to say it, it was not the right way to say it, right? It's not the right heart, exactly. But now I know, I thank God, and man, the devil is so stupid, and he's just a liar. And that's the good thing. Like, that's what we should know. Like, the devil is so stupid. It's the old dog with the same tricks. You know, all he does is lying. He's the father of all lies. So if he says something bad about you, so you're exactly the opposite of it. You know, and that's when you need to understand, like, you know what? Shut up, man. Like, you're just talking too much. You know, and, but anyway, I'm just going to share with you that how important is to know for us is to know that God is love and God is holy. Because sometimes we can try to love people in such a human way that we forget the holiness of God. We leave the holiness of God completely on the side. We make promises for God that are not right. We read scripture in the wrong way to people just to encourage them to keep in the faith. The problem is that if we don't teach them right, they will go back to the same place. And the Bible says that Jesus is the truth, right? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father except through him. So I'm going to talk about the love of God. The love of God, it talks about, you know, it's the best example is 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. It says the love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, is not self-seeking, not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs, does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and love never fails. The scripture for that is, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love, right? Yes. So these are the characteristics that, like, not being selfish, do not envy, being kind, being patient. That's what God calls us to be. That is what love looks like. Yes. And out of his holiness, we have the scripture of Leviticus 11, 44 and 45. The scripture says, "For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. You shall not defile yourselves with any swarming things that crawls on the ground, for I am the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall be you shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Out of the part of the holiness of God, we get righteousness, we get integrity, we get truth, we get to be clean or to be spotless. The words of justice and obedience are part of it too. And the reason why we need to understand this is because even though we can love people in the way we think love should be, the Bible says on Hebrews 12:14, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. I am not an expert in the Bible, but to me, it seems like the attributes of love is to be patient, to be kind, and all those things is to be patient to who? You know, it's very easy to be patient with God. And sometimes it's not even easy because we are like, God, hurry up with my answer for my prayer. But we try to be like, God gives us these words for love, to be not self-seeking, to be patient, to be kind. It's an example that he gave us to be for people. Not necessarily to him, because the way we love God, he says, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commands. The way that God wants us to love him is to be obedient. And out of the obedience of God, we can say like righteousness, being integral, be obedient. That doesn't necessarily have to be a person to be obedient, to be righteous, to be integral. I have to be integral when I am in my house, when no one is looking. Yes. You know, and that's the way we love God, is when we spend time together with God. As Christians, we pursue living in whole, in love and holiness so we can truly love God and love others. We can accomplish living in holiness only through relationship with him. And while we know him, we learn to love. The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. How can we love others if we don't love ourselves enough to keep us from sinning, to keep us from the very thing that is killing us? Sin, the wages of sin is death, and sin separates us from God. What we're doing is we are made clean, and what we do is we go back to the mud. Oh, man. And that's the problem. Like, we are not Christians that are walking out of the mud into righteousness. We are already being made righteous through Jesus Christ. We are already being clean. We are clean already. We are being made whole. We are holy already. So every single thing that from our past, every single thing that is not true, every single thing that is not here, we use this thing sometimes to keep us in bondage ourselves. You know, we use this Bible sometimes to say like, in order for you to be happy, somebody else has to serve you. Or in order for you to be happy, you need to have a bigger car, bigger house. Sometimes we preach those things. Sometimes we tell people that, you know what, God wants to give you a car, wants to give you a house, a bigger house, a better job. And those things are true, don't get me wrong. He loves us that much that he wants to give us everything. It's his pleasure to give us everything. Amen. But his greatest pleasure is to give us his spirit and to have him in our heart and the relationship. The whole purpose of being Christians is to have a relationship back with God. Like Jesus died on the cross, not so that we can come to this book and we can find, I'm going to pray this is a prayer right here that says that whatever I ask in his name, he shall do it. So, oh God, please, I need a brand new car, but I want it red and make sure it's a Lexus, you know? And that is not really, why Jesus died on the cross. We have greater things right now in storage for us. Like, we have access to the Father. Just think about it. Like, actually today, before I was, when all this struggle was happening with my notes, and I was like, God, like, I need this message to be right. And he's like, no, son, you need me. That's it. That's all you need. Like, stop trying to make things on your own. Stop trying to put your ideas and trying to sound right. All you need to do is me. All you need to do is spend time with me. Whatever I told you, whatever you do, like, you're walking with me. So why are you trying to find new ideas on how to say your thoughts? Just be you. Like, I give you a heart of flesh. I remove your heart of stone and I give you a heart of flesh. And I put my spirit within you. So why are you even trying to preach like somebody else? I have my message through you. And you know what? The reason what I'm saying all these things is because I got offended, I think. I think that's the word, offended. By, you know, like, I'm ministering to people and to know all the things that they have learned wrong, you know? And really, like, they learn them in church, you know? And we have compromised so much the Word of God that it saddens me to see, like, man, I cannot believe that. I cannot believe that I am fixing what... I'm not fixing it, I'm sorry. God is fixing it, but I cannot believe that now I am dealing with a lie that someone important in the church said, you know? And it is really hard to grab us back, to get people out of that truth, because they respect so much teachers. But you know what? Today I learned that it's not my job to judge them. God will judge them.
Amen.
Right? And I know that I will make mistakes talking too. So forgive me, Lord. You know my heart is right. But the thing is, like, we teach people all these things that are not. You know, we teach people that husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And we start giving them, like, you know what? You need to learn your wife love language. And I'm sorry that I'm going there, guys, but the thing is, I'm saying that for experience. My wife and I, in the beginning of a relationship, we were struggling hard because of bad teaching that we had. It was really the problem with five love languages and all these things is we are giving people the right to be mad at other person because they are not fulfilling their need. You know, if her love language is words of affirmation, our selfish desires are like, give me more, tell me more, tell me more. Like, I need you to fill that tank of love that is this big. But the truth is, as Christians, when we receive Christ, that tank is already full. It should be full. He is the one that fills that tank. So nothing that the other person does or doesn't do affects us. Because we wake up to love people. We don't wake up to, like, you know what? I'm going to love you as long as you provide this for me. I'm going to love you as long as you tell me that I'm doing things. You know, Pastor Craig mentioned the other day, anger management. You know? And the problem with this is we're making psychology out of the church. And the thing is, we are studying all nature that we don't have anymore. As creatures in Christ, we became new creatures, right? We became a new man. So why are we trying to deal with the new man with the things of the old man? All those things, anger, jealousy, pride, all those things are from the old man. So what we need to do is we need to tell people the truth about who they are in Christ. They are being made right. They are one with God. They are accepted in the beloved. They have been completely clean. Now they are ready to live a life in righteousness. Now they don't have to be like, you know what, Father, like, I don't know how many of you minister to people. I'm pretty sure most of you, because I know, like, this class is really people that are sold out for God. And I just love this class so much. But what I see is people that are coming back to you for the same prayer. Like, brother, pray for me for this thing. It's like, man, I'm sorry. Like, I cannot pray for you anymore. Like, I cannot pray you to be righteous. You already been made righteous. You need to start walking in righteousness. When something comes to your mind, you know, like, I went through the same thing, and I overabused it because nobody held me accountable. Nobody held me accountable. Nobody told me the truth of, you know what, man, you're messing up. Like, you want to walk out of it? Stop. Stop whatever you're doing. You are trying to do it on your own. Spend time with Jesus. He will get you out of it. And that's the thing. Like, I, in the beginning of our marriage, I struggled with masturbation a lot. And it was horrible. I was prisoner of it. And my wife doesn't even know it that much. I mean, I think she knew kind of a little bit. But it was a struggle for me. And even though when I was messing up, it's stupid just to think that being married and masturbating, so it's like, what need is it? It's stupid. And the thing is, I didn't have nobody to hold me accountable. And I will be doing that over and over and over again. And it was so hard because it's like, people will tell me that I need to be delivered and all these things and all that. But not until I started proclaiming the truth of God. You know, it's like, Father, I know I'm not this person. God, I know that this is not who I want to be. Father, I know that I've been made clean. I've been made righteous. And even I was doing that. I was praying while in the fact, when I was doing things. And I would pray, God, I know that this is not me. Suddenly, 2-3 days passed, and I didn't have any desire of it. And then I could pray, and I could pray, and I can spend time with God and praying in the Spirit.
Praise the Lord.
And then suddenly, like, it was longer periods of time. There's a point that I don't even have the need of it. Like, it was completely set free, you know? It was completely, completely set free. And that's the thing, guys. Like, sometimes the devil will be... I remember the devil was like, man, you're so hypocrite. Like, I cannot believe that you are praying to God while doing this. And I was just like, Father, I thank you. I know that this is not true. I know, Lord, that I was made to live in righteousness. I was made to live in truth. I was made for you. And I know that I am selling myself short.
Praise God.
And this is the thing, guys. Like, we are not supposed to have pity parties in the church. Nobody wants to be part of something I don't want to be part of the club of the woman crying. You know? I don't want to be part of the club of the guys that make excuses for one another. I want to be part of the club of the people that is being set free. I want to be part of the club of the people that is walking in righteousness with God and that they know the truth. That no matter what the devil says, like today I was changing my notes. I was thinking that I was changing my notes. And I remember that I've been kind of struggling with my job. And while I was praying to God, like, God, what do you want me to... The thing is, I made a promise to God. And I made a promise yesterday to God. And today I broke it. It is a big deal for me because it is not something serious, but it's something that is telling me the lack of discipline that I have in some things. That how can something become more important for me than my word to God? You know, and I was praying to God and like, God, Father, forgive me for this. I know, Lord, that you have a word for me. Like, I'm worried right now. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't even know how can I talk to people in this class when I am not even doing your will. I just broke my promise with you. And God is like, son, I love you. Get up. Son, I love you. Stop thinking about it. And whoever is condemning you, trust me, it's not me.
Great.
And whenever I started praying, this image of me breaking the promise was in my mind. And I was like, Father, I thank you that I'm not that person. I thank you. And the devil was like bombarding me. My wife went to get groceries and I was by myself. And I just started screaming. Like, I'm the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. I really ran out of words. I ran out of words. And I just started saying, I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
There is a point where I just felt like, you know what? Stand up and just start working on something. It was completely gone, guys. And this is the thing. I actually, there's a scripture that came up to me right now. Hebrews 10, let's start 19, 22, I'm sorry. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. That's what I was doing. That is the confession of our hope. We have been made clean. We have been made righteous. So there is nothing that the devil can tell you to get you out of it. For he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Verse 35 says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. You have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. And isn't freedom promise?
Yes, it is.
Amen. You know, and that's amazing to see that. You know what? I used to make promises for God myself. I used to make promises to people for God. Like, yeah, you know what? God wants to heal you. And I know those promises are truth. But the problem with that is I made people seek God for that. And after they got that, they walked away.
Oh, wow.
And that's the problem. When we make promises for God, like, you know what? God wants to bless you with a job. And I stopped doing that. Because every single time that I say that to a person, we prayed, they got a job, and they never came back to church.
Wow.
You know, and it's so sad. So therefore, I tell him, you know what? God wants to make sure your heart is so sold out for him that you know that whoever is providing is not your job, is God. God will not give you something that will take you away. Sometimes the devil can give you a better job to keep you away from your church. Sometimes the devil can give you something that looks better, but it really keeps you from God. You know, like, God is a good father. We know that. So God will not give, like, you will not give your three-year-old a big motorcycle. God will not give us something that will take us away from him.
Amen.
We are so like, God, you need to give me this. I want it. But God is like, you know what? You don't want that. You want me. So stop asking me for those things. That's what the Bible says. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, right? It says, yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And he says, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back.
Amen.
And are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls.
Amen.
And that's who we are, church. And you know what? Like, it bothers me because before I didn't know better. But now it bothers me, you know, to hear people saying like, oh, I'm a sinner. And you know what? You're not a sinner anymore.
Great.
You're not a sinner anymore. You've been made clean. If you sin, you know, it's like you have the potential to be a teacher, but not because you're taking classes, you're a teacher. So if you are committing mistakes and if you're thinking the wrong thoughts, that doesn't make you a sinner. You have been made righteous. Temptation always will come, and temptation is not a sin, because even Jesus was tempted and he did not sin. So whenever we have problems, whenever thoughts come to our mind and we feel tempted, do not start hitting yourself and be sad about yourself and about your life and, oh God, I cannot overcome these things. Why my problem is getting so big? I cannot believe that it's not going away. You know what? The devil knows that. The devil knows that everything that you are doing, if he goes to you, you're like a little kid. Like, he just scratches you a little bit and you start laughing a lot. So he knows that if he tells you a little bit, you start crying and you start feeling sorry. And you go to your friends and ask for prayer. And then you make another mistake. So maybe his prayer didn't work. I'm going to go to the other friend. Maybe he has more connections with God. You know, even my dad thinks that. My dad tells me, like, hey, son, you pray for me because you are better with God because you go to church. And he's like, Dad, no, stop it. You know, like, it's not like that. And you know what, family? Because we're a family. Amen. And I love you guys all so much. You're amazing. And I just want to say, like, when you are going through something, like, do not, if you cannot deal with it yourself, go with God. Like, people can pray with you and all this stuff, and that's good. But until the truth that sets you free becomes a reality in your heart and in your mind, you will continue to live there. Like, Benny Hinn can pray for you. Yolo Singh can pray for you. Dan Muller can pray for you. But until you don't make this word, if until this doesn't become your word and your truth in your heart and in your mind, you will always go back to the same thing, to feel sorry for yourself, to feel like you will never overcome. But the thing is, you need to stop seeing yourself like, I need to get there. You are already there. You are already there. And no matter what you do, no matter what, if you make mistakes, I'm pretty sure like nobody wakes up here in the morning thinking, oh God, how can I, how, I'm thinking like, how am I gonna sin today and get away with it? None of us think that way. And if you think that way, you need some repenting to do. You need to spend more time with God. Amen. But I'm sure that all of us, when we mess up, we feel bad about it, you know? And the thing is, sometimes it's amazing to have an accountability person. This is why I love to meet with Pastor Craig. This is why I always like to have people that I know they love me, people that are in the faith, that are full of wisdom and word. Because sometimes we can be so blinded. I know this amazing man of God that, it's hard to say it, but, oh God, help me here. This guy, I know, loves God. But the problem is, I think he loves himself a little more. Because he feels that everybody has to cater for him. He feels that he loves God, and he mentors people, and his heart is, he is harsh with us. He was harsh with us. I used to be he used to disciple me a long time ago. And his heart is right. He's a very loving person, and he has a lot of love for the brothers. But sometimes, like, we will go eat somewhere, and something bad was in his food. Oh my God, like, his attitude dropped. Like, forget about the Christian person. It was like, what is this? I cannot believe that. Blah, 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 blah. My food, I'm paying for this, and it's very expensive. You should change this for me, and I'm not gonna pay. You know, things like that. So, and he will go off on the waitress. And it's like, dude, like, relax. She didn't cook your food. And they can bring you another plate. He's like, no, 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 we are in a hurry for the movie. And he's like, hey, man, come on. Like, it's not a big deal. It's just food. You know, like, think about that person. And, you know, like, the problem with things like that is because I guess he was so exalted by teaching us all that he forgot that he also has somebody to respond to. And the thing with that is, it's sad because we started to see how he will mistreat people in the Bible study, you know, with condescending comments like, oh, really? You didn't see that? It's right there. You know, it's sad. It's sad to see that. So that's why, like, we guys, we all, no matter if you're walking in righteousness, in holiness, we all need to have our time with God first of all. Yeah. And we need sometimes people, because sometimes we are so blinded that we don't even hear the Holy Spirit. We need somebody to tell us, like today, Pastor Alvin told me, you're caught up in works. And I was like, oh, like, how dare you? But you know what? It was truth. It was true, the guys. And I am just fascinated with how God really is true to his word. You know, he says like he wants to set us free. The whole purpose of being Christian is not for us to go to heaven. You know, when we think like, oh, we're just waiting, like we accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior, we're going to go to heaven. Woo! And we think that's it. It's not true, guys. Really, like we have the Holy Spirit. We have relationship with God. Heaven right now is happening. Amen. We are right now having a relationship with God and we are learning how to love people. I read this book and it's called The One Thing You Cannot Do in Heaven. Anybody knows what it is? Huh? No. Evangelism. That's the only thing you cannot do in heaven. You cannot tell about God to anybody in heaven. They already know him. So we are seed sowers. Everywhere we go, we are the image of God. And we are not supposed to tell people like, you know what, if you pray this prayer, you're going to go to heaven. Because really, like, I read a statistics that said that people that go to revival events, from all the people that go and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, many of them don't come back to church ever. And that's the thing, like people get offended. When we don't tell them the truth, when we tell them that it's all about them, that this book is an assurance of heaven and an assurance that all your prayers will be answered, that you will have a better job, that you will have a perfect family, that you will have a dog and a kitty and a son and a daughter. When we're telling people those things, we are making this personal for them, for their benefit. But all this word is for the benefit of him. The benefit that we received from here is we already have the whole benefit. We are one with God. We are one with God. That's the best benefit that we can ever have. So the only thing that we need to do is tell people the truth, because if we don't do that, we will still have the same people that are in the church, going to the church over and over and over again, feeling ashamed of themselves, feeling sorry for themselves, being angry, being prideful, expecting from people to be like, hey, thank you, your ministry was amazing today, you preach great. You know what, like, it doesn't matter. Those things really don't matter. Like, we can encourage people, and we need to give them the hope of Jesus Christ. Amen. But the thing is, we help them to put their hope in something else. We tell them that, you know what, like, when you keep praying this prayer, you're going to have more money. So their hope is not in Christ anymore. Their hope is on the money. And this is the thing, guys, like, we need to start learning that, you know what, the gift of the Holy Spirit is free. Amen. The best things in life are free. Right? God gave us all things. People, like, I'm going to go to another scripture. Matthew 6, 30. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds on the earth. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?
Glory.
And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious about for itself. Sufficient for the day is to it's its own trouble. So why do we have to tell people that God wants to give them all these things? You know, we are setting them for failure. We are setting people for failure if we sell the gospel in this way. Really, like, just think about it. If they don't want God, if they don't want a relationship with the giver of life, what good for them will be to have all money, all the cars, all these things? And the problem is, if you seek God for the things that you got, you know, you pray and it happens. They get a car, they get a bigger house and all these things. When God asks them to, you know, sell your possessions and follow me, they're way too attached to it. And they're like, no, God, you gave them to me. Doesn't sound like Eve? Doesn't sound like Adam and Eve? Oh, no, Lord, you gave it to me. It's your fault. I have all this, and if I'm not following you, it is your fault because you gave me all this. I am used to this lifestyle now. I'm sorry. Like, you promised me that it was going to be this way. But you know what? He also promised that in this life we will have tribulations. But be of good cheer because he overcame the world. So we become overcomers with him. You know, we are overcomers with him. It doesn't matter our situation. You know, it doesn't matter if we are feeling good or if we are feeling bad, if we are sick, if we are in debt. Really, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change the truth. There is a positional truth that he gave us. It is. And we need to understand, like, we cannot be moved by our circumstances. Amen. Our circumstances always are going to deny the word of God. Amen. And this is the truth. This is the truth of the Bible. And I'm just going to close with one scripture that I love it so much. And it says, it's in 2 Timothy 4:4. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So guys, like, being loving does not mean just to cheer on people. Being loving really is to say the truth. To say, like, you know what? This is not the right thought. Like today, you told me. Like, hey, bro, I think you're getting caught up in works. And really, I thank you for that. It opened my eyes, and it gave me peace. And it gave me peace because after that, I prayed, and God confirmed it. It's like, son, you know what? Yes, you're trying to do ministry. I already gave you the ministry. It's going to happen. But it's like you are trying to, you think that, it's like kind of praying in tongues. It's like you start praying in tongues and you think like by praying in tongues faster, you're going to have more prayers answered. And it's not true, you know? Like God is like, you know what, son? Things are there for you. But the thing is, don't forget that that is not your ministry. It is my ministry. Don't forget that whatever, that your life is not even yours, it's mine. You know? So let's not forget that, guys. And let's not forget to love one another in truth. Because God is seeking for worshipers and those who worship him in spirit and in truth, right? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And if Jesus is the truth, he also says, and the truth shall set you free. You know? So let's point him to Jesus. Let's love him. And I love you guys. Thank you so much.